We should give thanks to God daily. Luther teaches this in his small catechism when he writes about the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, you know, give us this day our daily bread. To that, Luther says, God gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that he would lead us to realize this and receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Now, this sounds good, and we might even believe it. But our lives reveal the habit of taking for granted our benevolent God and these necessities that he gives us. Food, water, clothing. We need these things, but we have so much of them, it's easy to overlook their importance. Therefore, one benefit of having Thanksgiving Day is it does force us to slow down a bit, to contemplate and think about all the things that we have. It forces us to think about that stuff like our families, our freedom, our possessions, all that we need to support our bodies and our lives. Furthermore, it probably goes without saying, but along with physical sustenance, we also have many spiritual blessings, don't we, that we should be thankful for. In Christ and by Christ, the baptized possess those heavenly treasures. You know what they are. Things like forgiveness, God's love, his mercy, his grace. These things far surpass anything in the world. Even to our eyes, we see that earthly treasures, they lose their luster, don't they? They fade over time. They wither. They decay. Not heavenly treasures. Those things endure unto eternity. I'm going to say this, and I've said it before on Thanksgiving Eve, but here's what I want all of you to do tomorrow. Relax. Take it easy. Be thankful. Be thankful. Reflect upon those things that God has given you, both the physical and the spiritual. Love your neighbor. Forgive your neighbor. Yes, that includes that family member who causes your skin to cringe. Love them. Forgive them and be thankful tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day. Now, getting into Paul's epistle, he has this line, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Easier said than done, right? Well, it's important. It's important for you Christians to realize why Paul says such a thing. The reason you have no need to be anxious is because, number one, God hears your prayers. He hears your petitions. He knows your needs. Your prayers do ascend to his throne of grace, every one of them. Don't worry if you struggle at time to find the words to pray, because Scripture also teaches us that the Holy Spirit is always there, interceding for us on our behalf, helping us in our weaknesses, bringing our prayers into conformity with the will of God. It is by the Holy Spirit that the Christian confesses Christ. It is by the Spirit that the Christian says, Lord, let thy will be done. The reason your request and your petitions ascend to God's throne of grace isn't because of your persistence. It isn't because you can or cannot pray some long, flowing, beautiful prayer. It's not the amount of words that get God's attention. God hears you, Christian, and this is very important, because the Christian, the baptized believer, prays in the name of Jesus. You pray and live in the name of Jesus. And to pray and live in the name of Jesus means you do so as one who is holy, forgiven, righteous, and pure. Praying in the name of Christ, it is because of that God hears your prayers. He knows your petitions, every one of them. So make your requests known to God. He desires to hear them, and he will answer according to his good and gracious will. Also, please bear in mind the God you pray to. You pray to your Lord and your God who made creation out of nothing in 6 mere days. He gives life to all things, knocks down tyrants with a breath, removes one nation, only to raise another. He commands lightning where to strike, waves where to crash. He commands the skies to water the earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the everlasting to everlasting, the God in whom scriptures say we move and have our being. Let your prayers, let your requests be made known to your God, your Creator, your Redeemer, your Sanctifier, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No temptation will befall you that God cannot handle. No need will meet you that your God is not capable of fulfilling. This sounds fantastic, and it is true. Therefore, don't be anxious about anything. God can certainly handle your problems. And yet, there are even more reasons. There are even more reasons that Paul says, do not be anxious. I want to be clear when I say, the Apostle Paul isn't saying, every time you pray in the name of Jesus, hey, life is going to be great. Your troubles are going to go away. Life is going to be like one big giant bed of roses. Not so. On the contrary, we hear from Scripture in numerous places, but the one that comes to my mind is when Jesus clearly tells his disciples in the Gospel of John, in this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. You may even face persecution in this life because you bear the name of Jesus. Tomorrow, despite my earnest pleas and holy scripture telling you not to worry and be anxious, something's going to cross your mind that causes you to doubt all of this, and you will worry. The fallen world will put something before you that causes your blood pressure to rise. If not tomorrow, don't worry, maybe the next day or the day after. The sinful flesh doubts the comforting word of God. And so when we stumble into that precarious situation, we get anxious. We begin to doubt, as if maybe God is asleep at the wheel. How quickly we forget the God we serve. The moment we run into something that is outside of our control, as if we had control to begin with. Strong one moment, we worry the next. We feel fortified one day, depressed the next. Thanksgiving Day should be a worry-free affair, but something will cause you to fret. May it be a burnt turkey or that family member you go out of your way to avoid. Taking all this into consideration, though, even knowing the predictable nature of every sinner, I still say to you, tomorrow, be thankful, do not be anxious, don't worry, give thanks to God. Why does Paul say, don't be anxious, in spite of living in a fallen world, where we know God's people will face turmoil, suffering, affliction, hostility? Paul says this because of God's promise. And that promise is the message of salvation. The grace and the forgiveness of sins that we find in the person and work of Jesus Christ. God's love and his mercy for you. We do not find those things in creation when roaring floodwaters take over a city or a volcano erupts. That is never where I would turn a person to find God's love. On the contrary, if you want to find God's love for you, his grace and his mercy for you, you find it in the person and atoning work of Jesus Christ. The epistle to the Philippians is a very joyful, uplifting, confident letter. But did you know, when Paul wrote this letter, life wasn't so good. As he penned this uplifting, glorious letter to his Philippian congregation, Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison, locked up, stripped of his liberties, all because he did the Lord's work. Even so, despite knowing death was imminent, Paul says these words. He says, "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all." Paul rejoiced. He was in prison, was pretty sure death was coming, and yet he rejoiced. Why? Because Paul knew who he was. He was forgiven. He had been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Paul had his eye on the prize, eternal life, secured for him by Jesus. Paul had the righteousness that comes by faith, faith that grabs hold of the Christ, true God, true man. He had his eye on God in the flesh, who came to restore humanity by blotting out sin by the death of his cross. And Jesus' exit from the tomb is proof, Christian. It is proof to this world that sin and death have been defeated. And as he lives, you live. His physical resurrection from the tomb is a resurrection that you share in. I'm talking about resurrection here. But to the Philippians, Paul comments on that. "The Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." The Lord Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. This is the gift. This is the promise that all of you have. In Christ you have the heavenly treasures, of course, of forgiveness, of redemption. You have the heavenly citizenship to look forward to, a resurrection of the body, that time when you will no more experience pain, suffering, and guilt. It will be no more. On account of these things, Christian, the heavenly gifts that God gives you, you can be content in any and every circumstance. So this Thanksgiving season, be thankful. Thank God for the physical things he gives you. Don't take them for granted, but remember the food, the clothing, the house, the family. Thank God for those things. But even more so than that, thank God for those heavenly treasures, those spiritual gifts, the gift of his mercy, love, and his forgiveness. Those gifts that truly allow you to be content, whether you have plenty or whether you are in prison on the verge of death. Rejoice. Rejoice in Christ now unto forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace which truly does surpass all our understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.